from the Ghost Knight Media Studios and Paranormal Underground Magazine, welcome to Paranormal Underground Radio. It's time to explore the unexplained with your hosts, Rick Hale and Karen Frazier.
It is Thursday night, and if you can hear my voice, you are exactly where you need to be. I am your host, Rick Hale. Unfortunately, Karen Frazier will not be joining us tonight. Her son's got a little something going on at school, but it's all good. So welcome to the Underground, and tonight, got a great show lined up for everybody. Tonight, we're going to be having one of our paranormal roundtables. Now, I've got some excellent people joining me tonight. Let me just sum it up with this first. I have a science nerd, two media moguls, a Southern Belle, and yours truly. Yes, tonight we have J.D. Harrison, and we have Robin Marie, spiritual medium, Jeff Grunau of the Great American Phenomenon Hunt, and Teresa West will be joining me tonight. We're going to be talking about all kinds of great things, everything from UFOs all the way down to all the way up to psychic ability. It's going to be an excellent show. So everybody, welcome. Thank you for joining me again.
Welcome. Thanks.
Hello. So, you know, it's been kind of an interesting week for me. I'm, you know, at work, I'm able to watch movies. And Hello? So I've been watching a lot of Ancient Aliens when I'm at work. And I got to tell you something. Giorgio Tsoukalos, great hair, very passionate about what he's talking about. But I got to be honest with you, a lot of that stuff is kind of reaching for me. You know, the whole idea of Jesus being extraterrestrial. I can see him more as being like the guitarist for a punk band, but an extraterrestrial. Nah, I really don't think so. I think that's reaching, but it's still, even though it's a great show and I really enjoy it. So, but did we lose Robin?
I think we did.
Well, she will be back shortly, hopefully, and You know, guys, I just wanted to say thank you for coming back on. It's always a lot of fun having Jeff and JD and Teresa, and as soon as Robin comes back, it's always a lot of fun having you guys on. So,
that's a lot of fun being here.
Yeah, yeah. So what I think we're going to do is I think we're going to take, Cheryl, if it's okay, we're going to take a, early break. And then when we come back, we're going to be talking to everybody about all sorts of great stuff, roundtable discussion. Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com. Make sure you stick around because it is going to be live.
If you are a business owner, you are paying too much for products and services. Do not spend your hard-earned cash on items you can get on trade. UTXTrade.com was formed specifically so you can trade your products or services with other companies on the network for items like advertising, computer repair, office furniture, printing, hotel stays, and much more. For more information, please visit UTXTrade.com. That's UTXTrade.com. A proud sponsor of Paranormal League of America.
In her riveting novel, Breaking the Beyond, writer Kim Casey brings to life a supernatural tale filled with mystery, humor, and intrigue. Kim's suspenseful story focuses on Risa, a compassionate social worker who assists Owen, a young psychiatric patient. Is a 300-year-old entity speaking through Owen, or does he simply possess multiple personalities? Visit awningpublishing.ca to order your copy of Breaking the Beyond. That's A-H-N-E-E-N publishing.ca.
Hi everyone, it's Karen Frazier at Paranormal Underground.
And I'm Rick Hale, Paranormal Underground writer.
We're here to invite you to explore the unexplained with Paranormal Underground Radio, live and on the air.
Join us every Thursday night for paranormal talk and great guests from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time on ztalkradio.com.
Hi, I'm Chad Wilson, publisher and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
And I'm Cheryl Knight, editor-in-chief and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
Every month, Paranormal Underground explores the unexplained with a free monthly online magazine.
We take an in-depth look at all kinds of unexplained phenomena, talk with some of the field's top experts, and share the latest news and information about the paranormal.
Visit us at paranormalunderground.net, where you can read the magazine online, explore our paranormal evidence galleries, watch videos, participate in discussions, or read blogs with some of our writers and editors.
We hope you'll join us. Visit ParanormalUnderground.net and explore the unexplained.
Do you want to keep up with what's going on at Paranormal Underground?
Then tweet us on Twitter at ParanormalUG.
Or follow us on Facebook at Paranormal Underground.
Meet us on MySpace, Paranormal Underground.
There's no need to be in the dark about what's going on at Paranormal Underground. Join us on your favorite social networking site today.
Station identification.
You're listening to ZTalk Radio Network.
Operating frequency
on ztalkradio.com. The views expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ZTalk Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
Hey, and we are back. This is Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com. I am your host, Rick Hale. And tonight, and we, like I said at the top of the show, we have a great show lined up. Tonight, we're going to be having a paranormal round table. Yes, we've had them before, but never quite this. This is like the super friends of the paranormal radio right now. Tonight, joining me is going to be Robin Marie, spiritual medium. She is a listener favorite. And we also have Jeff Grunau of the Great American Phenomenon Hunt, another fan favorite. And we also have J.D. Harrison, and we also have Teresa West. And they're going to be joining me tonight. We're going to be talking about everything from psychic ability to weird cryptids that are roaming around out there in the forest and will probably eat every single one of us one day. So, guys, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us. It is always a pleasure having each and every one of you on.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rick.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So, Cheryl, are you there?
I'm here, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cheryl, our producer and the boss lady, the woman who has probably wanted to have me fired many, many times, either that or killed.
Never.
You are going to be moderating for us tonight, correct, Cheryl?
I'm stepping in. Karen, unfortunately, can't be here because she's at a school function with her son. So I'm gonna step in and ask a few questions. We're gonna have some really cool discussion around many different topics that you mentioned at the start of the show.
Yes.
So I'm excited to talk to everybody, and I just have to say, Teresa West, who's with us, is a long-time Paranormal Underground member and contributor and paranormal enthusiast, so I'm so glad you're here, Teresa, and J.D. Harrison, who's been our science editor from the very beginning, and he's also an archaeologist, so that's pretty cool.
Ooh. Yay!
And then,
you know what, JD? Last week, our guest made it very clear that being an archaeologist is not about fighting Nazis.
Yeah, that's true.
I was lied to.
Wait a minute. It's not?
No, it's not.
I signed up for it, and it was too late when I found out, and I couldn't quit. So I'm really bummed over that. Still to this day, but hey.
Well, if you threw rocks at him, that counts.
Yeah.
No.
Well, we also have Rob Marie and Jeff Grunau, and they are two of our most interviewed guests here on Paranormal Underground Radio. So we're so happy to have you both back again. So thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
It's my favorite show.
Yay!
Mine too.
Mine too. No, just kidding.
Mine too.
even more favorite than your own, The Rock, Jeff?
Oh, you know, that's just a legal rant. Come on.
Oh, okay.
You know, I can
you have
tell,
to say it to be nice.
Well, but the thing is, I'm not nice on the show, so you know, no, it's not the same at all. It's not the same. This is common sense. The other one is hard hitting. You know, back you up into a corner and make you fight me. You know, just kind of shake you up and open your eyes, kind of thing.
Okay,
this one is fun stuff. Well, this one's the fun stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. So basically on The Rock, you talk about a bunch of political stuff, correct?
Well, it's not political per se. It's common sense stuff. I don't allow... It's like I have a saying on there, and I don't want to take away from this show at all, so I'll get it really quick. I don't allow Democrats. I don't allow Republicans. I don't allow Tea Party. I allow Americans only. It's Americans. It's not, you know, you against me. It's us. It's stuff that we need to do together to pull our butts out of this problem that we're in today. We're not going to do it individually, and the government sure as heck isn't going to do it for us. So,
do I still count?
Yeah. Heck yes. Okay. Heck yes.
All right. Cool. All right, so all right, we've talked about fighting Nazis and being from Germany. Wait a minute, those two things sort of add up there. Well, you know, 60, 70 years apart from each other. So how about this? How about we're going to go straight into this? And
I think we are going to go straight into this because Rick's connection just went out, but he'll be back in like probably 60 seconds, so we'll be good.
It's paranormal.
Yep. Also, shout out to Phenomenology 104, which I hope I just pronounced that correctly, where Z-Talk Radio is being broadcast live at this very moment. So that's pretty cool. Why don't we start with the first topic on the list, and that is dealing with an issue that just happened on a paranormal show, and it's happened in the past, but it's okay. About, hey, Rick.
Hello. Sorry, guys.
That's okay. We're just going into the first question, and it's all about right. The recent events on one of the Sci-Fi's well-known shows called Ghost Hunters International. Right. And it, of course, if you watch that show, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, the topic is rituals in paranormal investigation. And, you know, I've personally seen them performed on several shows, such as Ghost Adventures, Extreme Ghost Hunters, and then here on recently on Ghost Hunters International. What happened was on Ghost Hunters International is they were in Belize on an investigation, and the team, I guess, performed an ancient Mayan bloodletting ritual, and mm-hmm. the hope was to draw the spirits out through that ritual. So I'm just wondering, you know, there was some negative feedback. There's some people said there's nothing wrong with it. There was a lot going on in the discussion after the fact. And so I'm just wondering what you all think of rituals and their use during paranormal investigation. So,
can I go first?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Jeff,
go ahead, Jeff.
Please.
Cool, sweet. I really don't see anything wrong with it per se. And let me explain why. If you think you can handle it, if you think you know what you're doing, and I got to say, let me qualify that by saying you better know what the heck you're doing.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, anybody that goes into, you know, an ancient Mayan bloodletting ritual, good Lord, just saying that, just, oh, man, makes me look over my shoulder.
Well, they used to sacrifice virgins quite a bit.
Well,
so
yeah.
You know,
but can you imagine, would you do something like that?
The Mayan, you know. The Mayan
so that makes it right, huh?
The Mayan bloodletting ritual was, that's what I didn't understand about it. It had nothing to do with calling spirits. The Mayans did not perform bloodletting rituals to contact spirits.
Yeah, that's another thing.
I agree.
Kind of
that, you know, that was, it was symbolic. What happened was they would use obsidian blades or stingray tail points, things like that to pierce a soft body part. Usually it was the tongue or the penis.
Oh,
and
JD,
or and sometimes they would put obsidian flakes on a rope and they would pull it through an earlobe or the tongue, and they would bleed it onto blood paper, burn it, and the smoke was symbolic of it was like a symbolic sacrifice, and the smoke was supposed to take it to the gods. And that was what the whole purpose of the bloodletting ritual was. Mm-hmm. Had nothing to do with contacting
spirits.
But do you
think that these people on these shows are qualified to do something like that, JD?
No, well,
qualified.
Okay, let's put it this way. They're not qualified if they don't understand the cultural belief and practice behind it.
Right.
And it was obvious
that's
in that
the
show
point.
That they did.
Yeah, let's just,
obvious.
You know, let's do this because it sounds cool.
It's going to get
more viewer, you know, to watch the show, that type of thing. To me, that's asinine. I don't agree with that at all. But if they're performing a ritual, and some cultures have rituals for contacting spirits, and if they understand that, and they're being guided like they were supposedly guided by, I don't know if this guy was supposedly a Mayan ancestor or what that was with him, but if they're being guided by somebody like that for that purpose, then yeah, by all means, it's interesting, as long as the context is correct behind it. But for something like that, when I seen that, I'm like, what the hell is this? You know.
Well, there was that horrible show, Extreme Paranormal, that was on a few years back, and they had it was an offshoot of the show Ghost Man and Demon Hunter. And to me, that show's unlistenable, anyways. But I actually
remember it was them, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was them. And yeah. I'm watching this, and it's like, they're actually, when they did this bloodletting ritual in this prison, I don't remember what prison it was, but it was like, it was actually being done in a black magic sense. I mean, they were like doing necromancy right on the television.
Right, that's conjuring.
Yeah. That was insane. I mean, okay, I don't necessarily believe in demons, but I do believe that there are, you know, spirits out there that mean us great harm. They were really just opening themselves up to all sorts of badness, and I think that was the case, too, on Ghost Hunters International. And what's funny is that Barry, who we've had on the show, and he's a great guy, I like him a lot, he should know better.
Yep. Well, you got to ask yourself, though, how much input or control per se does he have versus the producers of the show and what they want?
That was going to be my follow up to that.
It's shock TV, baby. I mean, that's what it's about.
Well, that's it itself.
And it's sad, you know, because there are groups and people out there that are trying to bring legitimate the paranormal field legitimately to the forefront through.
Yeah.
Research and scientific investigation, and you see crap like that. I mean, come on. You know, what are people going to think? But that's not what sells ratings, right? You know?
Right. And that's the problem, because you got guys like myself or you, JD, or Rob. You know, the rest of us on here, we've all been doing this well before it was cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's right.
You know, we just...
Long time back.
Are you saying we're old, Rick?
Hey, I just turned 38 years old last week. So.
But Rick, you know how I've always said this? You know me. I'm pretty blunt with this stuff and this particular subject. If somebody is on a show, they've got producers over their shoulders.
Right.
They've got ratings that they've got to get. If you don't get those ratings, you don't have a show.
It's the dramatics.
Yes, and it's sad that the general public is seeing this and thinking, wow, that's the way it is.
Isn't there a level of respect that's being breached by putting these sorts of rituals on television?
Sure there is.
Well, yeah, there is. There's
because you know they're not studying the culture beforehand. They just go in and have a crash course on bloodletting in the Mayan ruins. So
if you want to call it that, maybe one or two takes before they hit record.
Yeah. But there's a greater issue here. At my real job, I work as a counselor with kids who, you know, they have emotional problems and they have behavioral disorders and conduct disorders and all that. And I've actually dealt with many cutters. And this is a very serious.
That's what I wanted to say, Rick, definitely.
Yeah, it's a very serious. I mean, for God's sakes, I just had a kid in my cottage. He got upset because a girl rejected him. So he took, you know how you got like that pet, you know, on a pencil you got the metal with the eraser. He took the metal part off and proceeded to slash up one of his arms.
Right.
Now you're showing something like this on television. You're gonna have people go out there. Okay, they may not have their mental disorders. They may not have their behavioral disorders, but they're gonna think, okay, GHI does it, or God else only knows who. It's like, well, I think I'm going to start doing this. And that's the reason that Extreme Paranormal got its ass kicked off of A&E or whatever channel it was on. Because let's face it, if you don't know what you're doing, it is very negative. And, JD already spoke to that point.
Yeah, well, it just goes to show, and Teresa made a good point, too. It disrespects the cultures. And, you know, I mean, I'm sure there are some, there's a really strong Mayan population still to this day. And they're like our Native Americans here in the United States. They have tight-knit groups, and their cultures, their beliefs, and their practices are sacred to them, even to this day. If you don't understand it, that's fine, but respect it, you know, and you just didn't see that. I mean, there was a lot of levels that kind of upset me, you know, all the things that we've spoke of. But
I just want to say, you know, the Mayan rituals, it was about cleansing, if anything. This was a release. This right. wasn't a conjure. And I think they were confusing the ritual that comes through Wicca and other practices of witchcraft, where you do bloodlet. You do actually open a vein to draw blood into the spell. And this conjures up spirit.
Okay. Well, I didn't think that they actually did that in Wicca, though. I thought that that was one of those kind of things that was... Oh, they do. Okay.
Yes, most definitely.
Oh.
Yeah. See, that, like you say, Rick, that's a... And everybody, all these points are extremely valid and dead on the money.
Yeah.
Because, you know, what we're all up against every day with us, and somebody stop me if I'm wrong, is the general public being misled... being their concept of quote unquote paranormal investigating or sensitive type abilities. Good Lord, everybody's a sensitive now.
Yeah.
Everybody. Oh my God. My great uncle is here and he's telling me, oh Lord, oh Lord. You know, it's crazy. Come on, people.
Yeah.
I'll bet you right now, if I took a poll of everybody that's listening to this show, if I was able to do that, I'll bet you 80 to 85% would come up with that they're of a sensitive ability just because they don't understand what it means. They understand it from what they see on television. And that bothers me the most. It really
bothers me. I have it.
But Robin, what do you think about that? I mean, you as being a legitimate spiritual medium, what are your thoughts?
I believe, and I teach this as well, and a lot of the listeners are actually some of my students. I believe that everybody does have somewhat of a degree of being sensitive. But in what Jeff is saying, not everybody's a medium, not everybody's, you know, a full-blown psychic.
Sure.
Okay, and they need to be very careful, and they need to study, they need to understand, especially when they're dealing with rituals. This is a means of provocation. You're drinking up all of these spirits to come in, and you're getting a lower level of spirits. And this is what we teach. And, you know, I'm from Salem, Massachusetts, and this is where I have my training and do everything now, even that, you know, you're bringing in that lower level, and that's what you don't want to do.
Right.
Yes, what Robin just said. Exactly. Thank you, Robin.
Okay. I hear you, Jeff.
JD, I do want to ask you, though, I've always kind of like had the idea of being sensitive, not so much being a medium or being a clairvoyant, but just being sensitive as being something more biological than supernatural. I've always kind of believed that it's the, you know, holy shit, there's a saber-toothed tiger standing behind me right now. I've always thought that it was something that our ancient ancestors had to develop when they were hunting at night, as well as, you know, saber-toothed tigers or, you know, gigantic goanna lizards down in Australia. They had to be sensitive to what was going on around them. What do you think about that,
Jamie? I don't think the word sensitive is the right term. I think that maybe more so intuitive. Intuition is developed over time with practice. It's also inherent in us. And some people, and there's been studies, we'll call it genetic memory or something along that lines. But yeah, it's possible. You know, that's always been one thing in anthropology, talking about just a general fear of the dark. How most people fear the dark. Why? And that goes back time immemorial to, you know, those nights without campfires and, you know, dangerous creatures lurking around that would come into your cave and eat you, you know, that type of thing. It's more intuition, and I think that's probably what you're talking about, probably what you feel. And,
yeah,
you know, that's more intuitive, and I think that's human nature. I think everybody is intuitive to some point. You know,
well, it's like, Well, okay, to take for example for that. I mean, and I think that the women here could agree with this. You're in a crowded room and you feel some lecherous dude's eyes on your ass. Now, that's pretty much...
I never put it that way before, Rick.
You know what? I've actually had that, you know, myself, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn.
Yeah, but I've actually had ass on again, Rick Hale.
A guy was watching you?
No. Like, you know, there's this woman where I work, and she's kind of got a bit of the cougar going on for her, you know, and she makes me really nervous.
Oh, he tanked right.
Oh,
he was a man right in the middle.
Right in the middle of a good story. Oh.
His stalker got into the house.
That's
well, here's something that I wanted to say, because this was actually another question that we had for the team here, is everybody psychic to some level? Why or why not? I'm just curious how many of us think we have some psychic abilities. Of course, we know Robin Marie does. Teresa, are you still there?
Yes.
What do you feel? Do you feel you have any type of psychic or intuitive abilities?
Well, yeah, you know, I always said that my gut has never led me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
When I stop listening to my instincts, that's when I get in trouble.
Okay.
But I don't know that I have any real psychic ability.
And I've talked to Teresa about this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it does go along the lines of intuition.
Yeah.
And that's where it all begins. And this is just, you know, inbred in us.
Yeah. Okay. What about you?
You know, could be biological, psychological, and all of that combination.
Well, I find it interesting because I actually think everybody has a little bit of a psychic ability, but when I say psychic, I may actually mean intuitiveness. Because, mm-hmm. you know, you have those times when, you know, you're thinking the same thing or you say the same thing at the same time as your, you know, significant other or best friend, or you dream something and then the next day that something happens. And, you know, I've done that many times. So I'm not psychic, but I have some type of, you know, something maybe biological going on. I don't know. I don't know really for myself if I think it's supernatural or just a part of us as how we're made.
Something anthropological.
Yeah. Yes, Teresa.
I've told you the story about me dreaming about the house.
Yeah. Yes,
I had repeated dreams about a huge house that had a theater. And my husband's band would play in the theater every night, and we'd have parties. And about 3 years after I stopped having the recurring dream, I saw the house on a paranormal show.
That is outstanding.
Like I had walked through the house before and lived in it.
See?
And it belonged to an opera singer. Huh. I wish I could remember her name.
Yeah.
Mm. Wow.
So that's my fun dream story.
Well, before Rick finishes his story, I want to know what JD and Jeff think about their intuition or psychic abilities.
Go ahead, JD.
I don't know how psychic I am. I can be intuitive. And have been. I've had intuition about things and, you know, trusted my gut, so to say. But I wouldn't confuse being intuitive with psychic.
Okay.
It's two different things. Intuition, like I said, can be learned. It's, to me, it's more based on... And you don't think this way, maybe not. The normal person wouldn't think this, but it's more on probabilities of experience. You
mm-hmm.
know, you've experienced certain or similar situations and that type of thing throughout your life, and you've seen the outcomes, certain actions, and you might not even be aware of it, but subconsciously, the intuition kicks in. Okay, it's mm-hmm. sort of like the deja vu. I've been here before, I've experienced this, I've done this, and this was the outcome. And you get that feeling, gee, if I do this, or this is going to happen, or something. But, you know, I'm not a psychologist by any means. That's just my thoughts on the subject, so.
Okay.
Jeff, you had something? And then I think after Jeff, after you put your 2 cents in, I think we should move on to the next topic.
Okay. Psychic abilities. No, I do not have them. As JD said, I agree with him 100%. And Robin and Teresa, everybody, again, the the conversation is very much spot on, in my mind anyhow. I think that I have a heightened level of intuition. The deja vu happens quite a bit. Now, honestly, it happened a lot more when I was younger than it does in my adult life now. When I was younger, I had a lot of deja vu, a lot, and strange things. But psychic-type abilities, sensitive, medium, no. Now, do I think that everybody has this intuition? Yes. But I think a lot of people misconstrue the word psychic, or the words psychic ability. I think they misunderstand that intuition, that deja vu for psychic ability. And there again, I'm right back to bashing on the TVs. You know, the TV shows. That's what has put this all in there. You see one thing and they don't see everything. People don't realize that. They don't see the whole scene behind it. They just see one little bit that made it to the show.
Right.
If they would see all of it, I think the abilities would go down a lot more. Because I feel it's out of control right now with this psychic ability thing that everybody has.
Yeah. You should be me, Jeff. Everybody contacts me.
Oh, I hear you.
They tell me they're a medium.
I hear you. How do you not just go off on these people when they keep doing this over and over again? How?
I'm very diplomatic, Jeff. Let me tell you.
You're a saint. You are a saint, ma'am.
Some days I feel that way. I try to be respectful, and I try to break them down a little bit and tell them they need to get training. If that's the direction they want to go in, and I have to say, even you, Jeff, if you feel that you have a very deep set intuition, you can build on it. You can open yourself up and develop it further. But are you going to be a rock star if you play a guitar? I can't promise that to you.
Right. That's the big thing. You said it earlier. You've got to, if you want to call it, hone your craft. Learn, research.
Yes.
You know, learn. That's the biggest word here. Learn it.
And that doesn't happen in a few months, and it doesn't happen in a year's time.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. I mean, Robin, how long have you been doing this? Just a
ballpark number. 45 years.
45 years.
And now I have to kill all of you because you know way too much.
So basically you're like the Jedi mistress now.
Well,
like.
Yeah, no, I've done this since birth.
Oh, I'm yeah. bowing.
You know, by the time I was 5, I was doing readings and everything for pay. So, you know, it was a different type of lifestyle that I was in and you know, a lot has to do with family and culture and all of that, being very open to it. So,
can I ask a quick question, Rick?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's not on the list?
Okay.
Robin, this is directed specifically at you. 45 years. So what was happening 40 years ago? What was happening with the way that you were, I don't want to say accepted, but for the lack of a better word, accepted.
Well, I was clairvoyant from very early on, as most children are. Many children, I'll say that. Mm-hmm. I think we all have stories of children being small and talking to somebody in their room, and you know, it's perceived as being their imaginary friend.
Oh, my kid does it all the time. I mean, I'll look over at him and, you know, sure. The future world's greatest psychical researcher is laughing and talking and acting like there's somebody right there in front of him. He's 15 months old.
Right. And as we get older, we begin to dismiss these things. And I had a family that knew that I had gifts and they helped me develop it from day one. So by the time I was 5, I was doing readings and I had precognitive dreams. And that's like Teresa was touching on. I've always had the connection through dreams. And they had me studying Edgar Cayce from a very, very early age. And I mean, 7 years old, they gave me their books. But I studied, you know, and by the time I was 16, I actually studied at Harvard University for parapsychology for, you know, an adult course that they had there at the time. They didn't have degrees in it back then. And I'm very happy to hear that the colleges are incorporating this now and giving degrees in it and there's deeper studies in it. But, you know, my case is very unusual. And so I'm developed to the degree that I am because of my family encouraging it.
Right.
But how were you accepted in the community, so to speak, with your peers, with the kids? Were you seen as something strange?
Weird? Jeff,
you talked 40 years ago.
Jeff, I don't think I ever was a kid. I went to parochial school. I read for the nuns. I read for the priests. Everybody knew that I had this gift. I would tell them things about their family. I've always walked in between the worlds. And so I've given them messages from way back. And this is people, you know, within the spiritual realm, you know, people of the clergy and all of that. So I was taught to be very guarded. And so if somebody is not able to receive that message or accept us being different or even looking outside the box, I had to be respectful that they were not ready to receive that.
Well, at least we're not burning people at the stake anymore.
Fortunately. I do like a good barbecue here and there.
And I have a couple that I'd nominate, let me tell you. Don't get me started, Raquel.
I got a couple of phonies that I've taken down in the past, and I loved every second of it. So,
yeah.
All right. So, what do you guys think? You guys want to like move along to the next topic?
Sure.
Yeah, Cheryl? I think that's good. Well, this next question comes from Chad, and we recently had a show with Bill Murphy from Sci-Fi's Fact or Faked Paranormal Files, and he joined us, and this last time he's joined us in past, but this last time he joined us to talk about a conference that he was putting on in March, and it was about thought form manifestation. And so we had a great discussion about that, and that is kind of where Chad's question is going. And basically what his question is, do we form our own reality? And if we do, does having more people believe in something make it more apt to become reality? So for instance, if you have two people praying or putting out thought forms for the same thing, or even just believing in the same thing, does that influence the reality around us?
Wow. Good question.
Wow.
Very deep.
Chad is always very deep. Yeah.
He wants an answer from me on that?
Yeah, so, yeah.
Can't it be like an Obama question?
Well, I know that when we had Bill on, we referenced a little bit with Alexandra David Neal. Mm-hmm. Okay? When she was over in Tibet, she actually created this... this thought form manifestation, and you know, going through the towns and the villages, and people claimed that they could see this person. So do we create our own reality? I think that we have enough reality around us, but maybe there are certain kinds of people that can create these forms out of nothingness. Does that make you a god? I don't think so. I mean, what do you guys think?
You know, I spent some time in Korea in the military and some time in all over Asia, and studied some martial arts with some monks, good guys, taught me a lot. And one thing that you come to realize really, really fast, no question in your mind, is the power of positive and the power of numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You get a group together, like you're saying, on the same wavelength, on the same subject, on the same thought, things are going to happen. Just the energy that you emit together as one.
Sure.
It's mind-boggling. So my answer is yes. I think we do. And I think we have the power to alter our reality. Okay. To the way that we want it. I mean, it's the old Tony Robbins mentality. You know, the power of positive thinking.
Banana fingers.
Yeah. You know, it's basically the same concept, but a little bit deeper. You know, so yes, I think we do.
So, but hold on a second here. Now, a couple of years ago, you had that thing called The Secret. You know, they were using the Law of Attraction, which is, you know, really big with Rosicrucians.
Mm-hmm.
And, now, okay, I can positively think myself until I am blue in the face that I want a Ferrari to appear right before me right now.
Come on, no.
Well, that's a little much.
And that's where realism kicks in.
Right. How about you ask for something like you want to get along with your wife better? Maybe you want to quit smoking. You want it to be easy to quit smoking, or easier, or you'd like to really get along with your boss. You know, we're not talking about material things. Material things, that's a hang up.
Okay.
You know, what you've got to keep in mind is this is things that are going to affect the way that you live and the way that you throw off your energy, your aura, whatever you want to call it, to other people, and mm-hmm. how you affect other people.
Sure.
Okay. I want to try to put this in actions. Perspective, if I can, a little bit. You're talking about how somebody's ideas or beliefs can affect a group of people, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Well, the very definition of culture is a group of people who share similar beliefs, views, and practices. Okay?
Okay.
So it would be more of a cultural type formation where you have the same group that are believing in these things. Now, does it affect our reality? Well, your reality, and this is getting really philosophical because it's a very philosophical question. Your reality is your worldview. It's how you perceive the world around you and how it affects you. That's your reality. Can a group or a person affect a group if the group accepts those beliefs and ideas and practices? Yes. Becomes part of their culture, and therefore it affects their reality. So they can, but does it affect everybody's reality? Everybody would have to jump in on that same belief in order for it to do. It's just like religion, the concept of religion.
Yeah, good luck with all that,
JD,
right?
Yeah, JD, let me put it to you this way, JD. Can that group of people, can they get together on their own, separate from everybody else, and with their own very targeted and very specific thoughts, power, if you will,
mm-hmm.
can they merge them together, so to speak, mm-hmm. and create one, and in the same, alter their reality?
They can alter their own, because their reality, as I said, is their worldview. Whatever they believe or perceive their worldview to be, that is their reality. So if they believe it enough to change that worldview, then yes, they can. But can they affect my worldview or yours? If you don't believe in it, they can't.
Right.
So
right.
That's the point. But yeah, look at all these suicide cults. Okay? We wouldn't have bought into those ideas, those beliefs, and those practices, most of us. You know? But they did.
I know.
They had a whole group.
They made me refund the money.
Yeah, see? There you go.
I just poured the Kool-Aid out.
Yeah.
I had to. Killed the grass, too, dang it.
That's the point. You know, they affected, their beliefs affected their worldview, and therefore their reality. Yes. So... yeah,
so it can go negative or positive either way.
Right, it could go either way. Right, it depends on their belief, their practice, and their worldview as far as their reality goes. But you know, can they affect everybody else's? Not unless everybody else believes what they believe, and that comes down. Like I said, it's very philosophical. You know, when you look at it that way, like I said, your worldview is your.
Nice.
Wow, who's on the motorcycle?
Oh,
I'm sorry about that.
Watching NASCAR right now.
Wow. I'm near downtown Boston. I apologize.
Oh, no, that's okay.
But anyway,
not my motorcycle.
They can affect their own worldviews, their own realities by their beliefs and practices, and everybody does. We do it every day. We do it right now, our culture. Look at all the various cultures and their beliefs. Yep. You know, the big one right now. With the wars in the Middle East, we have with Iran and Afghanistan, mainly Muslim. A lot of Americans, I don't know why they believe that, and Muslims are, you know, the same way, some of them. When the majority know better, but you have small groups that still believe that. You know, they believe different things, and how could you believe that, or how could you believe that? Well, that's what they believe. That is their reality. And, you know, at one time, they've affected that and changed that reality and their worldview, and it affected them. And therefore, you know, yeah, they could, but within groups. And I'm just saying, you know, I don't know if that question was meant to, did they affect everybody's reality or just their reality? But
well, when all those guys got together and decided that they were going to blow up the World Trade Center, I would definitely say that their negative making of reality affected our reality as well.
Well, it did. On that level, it did.
Right.
It affected our reality as far as the way we look at things. But see, it had, to me, it had a negative effect on the Muslim culture in general.
I mean, I've never met a Muslim I didn't like. I've actually have a few friends that are Muslim, and yeah, I think they're really cool guys. You know, they don't like to, you know, dance or drink or anything like that, but they're cool. You know,
that's right. Well, they don't, you know, they don't condone it. They don't believe in the violence and things. You just have a small sect, a small group that have a certain belief of what jihad is. And see, that has affected, you know.
But Rick,
Jeff's going to have a fatwa on his head tonight before we get off the air.
Don't dance and don't drink, so they're questionable?
No, that's not what I said. I said they're cool.
So I don't dance and I don't drink, thank God.
No, it was.
You don't want to see me dance.
No, it was meant as a joke, because it's like I know plenty
that
of people
would bring down nations if I started dancing.
the point that I'm trying to make is I mean, even people in my own family, ever since that happened, because they negatively affected our reality, even people in my family will look at Muslims and be like, wow, you know, I don't want to have anything to do with them. They're all evil. That is not the case. I could say the same thing about Catholics being brought up as a Catholic, that, you know, yeah, not all priests are going to be little boy, you know,
you and
boy
I have
touch.
Talked about this before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Catholic Church.
Yeah.
Right. No, and like JD said, that's you're exactly right. It's a faction, and everybody has the mentality of it's all. Well, it's not. You know, they talk about they're reading the Quran. Well, you know what? Yeah, so what? I've read the Quran, and that what they're doing, this faction, if you will, that, you know, was involved with 9/11 and everything, has nothing to do with the Quran.
Right.
Right.
Nothing to do with it. Nothing.
Right.
Absolutely nothing. It's a twisted version. It's what they're interpreting it as. And that's the problem. Man has the ability to interpret.
Right.
Once we put our grubby little mitts in it, that's when things really get mucked up.
That's right.
You know,
all right, guys. No, Jeff, could you finish?
Go ahead.
Please, sorry.
Go ahead. No, I'm done.
Okay, I was just going to say, what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break, and then we come back.
Another
we're going to move another one. Can you believe that? Yeah, we got to pay some bills, man.
All right,
know,
how
gotta,
much? Come on, guys.
Gotta get my
$5 bill so we can pay the bills.
I got to get my paycheck here. But we're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, we're gonna go to another topic. And Cheryl, can we make this one about monsters or something? I saw one on there about Bigfoot.
Oh yeah, we're heading that way.
I love me a Bigfoot. So let's take a break. And this is Paranormal Underground Radio. This is Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com. As I promised, I don't know where any of this is going tonight, but we are having a good time doing it. So stick around. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more, hopefully, about some monsters and not so much about religion. So stick around, and we'll be back.
Hi, this is Karen Frazier, author of Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, a new book from Ghost Night Media. In summer of 2009, I visited Wellington, Washington, a former railroad town in the Cascade Mountains of Washington State, where the worst avalanche disaster in the history of the United States occurred. 96 people lost their lives. What I found there changed my life forever. Before I visited Wellington, I wasn't sure that I believed in ghosts or even in the human soul. Now I know for sure that ghosts are real and that our souls go on after we die. You can read all about my experiences at Wellington in my new book, Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, which is on sale at Amazon.com. To learn more, visit avalancheofspirits.com. It's Karen Frazier at Paranormal Underground.
And I'm Rick Hale, Paranormal Underground writer.
We're here to invite you to explore the unexplained with Paranormal Underground Radio, live and on the air.
Join us every Thursday night for paranormal talk and great guests from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time on ztalkradio.com.
Hi, I'm Chad Wilson, publisher and co-founder of Paranormal Underground magazine.
And I'm Cheryl Knight, editor-in-chief and co-founder of Paranormal Underground magazine.
Every month, Paranormal Underground explores the unexplained with a free monthly online magazine.
We take an in-depth look at all kinds of unexplained phenomena, talk with some of the field's top experts, and share the latest news and information about the paranormal.
Visit us at ParanormalUnderground.net, where you can read the magazine online, explore our paranormal evidence galleries, watch videos, participate in discussions, or read blogs with some of our writers and editors.
We hope you'll join us. Visit ParanormalUnderground.net and explore the unexplained.
Do you want to keep up with what's going on at Paranormal Underground?
Then tweet us on Twitter at ParanormalUG.
Or follow us on Facebook at Paranormal Underground.
Meet us on MySpace, Paranormal Underground.
There's no need to be in the dark about what's going on at Paranormal Underground. Join us on your favorite social networking site today.
Your assignment is to listen to The Buzz on Monday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. Central on ztalkradio.com. This message will self-destruct.
I know what you are. You drive too fast, you smell so good, and you dress fashionably well.
Say it out loud.
You're a metrosexual?
Oh, why do I always get that? I'm a radio show host.
Kale, I want to be one of them.
And you can be. Join me on ztalkradio.com, 9 p.m. Eastern on Sunday nights. The show's called Perspective.
Hey, do you sparkle?
Oh my God, don't even start. Hang on, Spider Monkey.
The odds of a young girl being discovered by an industry insider while singing to herself pumping gas? 1 in 300 million. The odds of the daughter of a clergyman from Severn, Maryland spending 11 weeks at number one on the U.S. singles charts? 1 in 19 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of selling over 40 million records? 1 in 800,000. And the odds of this musician and performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 150. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn the signs of autism at AutismSpeaks.org. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen.
Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Nick Redfern, and you're listening to Paranormal Underground Radio on ZTalk Radio.
And we are back. Welcome back to Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com. I am your brave and intrepid host, Rick Hale. Tonight joining us
when Rick Hale gets back
is... It's not Rick Hale.
Right. Rick Hale. We have a cool round table going on. We're talking about all things paranormal, and we have Teresa West with us. She's our longtime Paranormal Underground member, and hi Teresa. We have JD Harrison, Paranormal Underground science editor and archaeologist, and we have psychic medium Robin Marie on, as well as TGAF's Jeff Grunow. So
hello, neighborhood.
Yay,
sorry,
we're
back.
And we have Rick Hale, host.
And Rick Hale, your host.
Awesome.
Who keeps, I don't know, I think like the gods hate me tonight or something.
Yeah, maybe you need to do a Mayan bloodletting ritual or something.
Yeah.
You know what, JD? I think I'm going to do that right now. Where's that straight razor I have? I know it's around here somewhere. Oh, there it is. All right,
put it down. Well, here we are. We're back. I think we're going to go into a little bit of a different topic. I know it's one of Rick's favorites.
So we still talking about Bigfoot?
We are going to talk about Bigfoot.
Great.
We are. We're going to talk about Bigfoot. We're going to talk about skinwalkers. Basically, I want to know from each of you if you've seen Animal Planet's Finding Bigfoot. And if you have, what you think about that show.
Well, and
pick me.
Okay, let's go.
I want to start out real quick. I have found Finding Bigfoot.
Yes.
And I want to start out like they do. All right. Let's go hunting Bigfoot.
I'm scared.
You know what? Bigfoot is listening to us right now, and he's like, "Just, I'm going to steer clear from Jeff Grunow from now on."
He has his iPod.
He does listen to us, from what I understand. I have him on my Facebook page. So
you know something we haven't heard from yet is Teresa.
Yeah, Teresa.
I think she's back on us now.
Yeah, tell us about Finding Bigfoot, Teresa.
Well, I will have to say that I do watch the show every week that it's on, and I DVR it, and I watch it again. I just find that that show is like the most haunted of the cryptid shows, and that makes me love it.
Most haunted?
It's the most haunted of the cryptid shows.
It's like most haunted
shows, but most haunted less than ghost shows.
Right. Oh.
Gotcha. Oh,
okay. Right.
See, I thought that out better.
I knew what you meant.
The sensationalism and the fact that they find Bigfoot every week, and the I do believe there's a Squatch in these hills. Gotta watch it.
No, usually there's some redneck in a ghillie suit that's standing around, and that's what people are seeing.
Mm-hmm. That was my point with the chambering. It's what's going on. You know, you find, and Rick, you know, I've had a lot of Bigfoot teams on the old show.
Yeah.
EGAF TV Radio, Georgia Bigfoot Adventures.
Mm-hmm.
We had that for quite a while, and I'm sorry, but 99.9% of them, they give the impression that they're a bunch of rednecks running around the woods with rifles hunting Bigfoot.
There you go.
You don't know what they see because the more beer they drink, the more they find.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's absolutely nothing wrong with the beer drinking.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, do I think it's real? Sure, I do. Do I think it or possibly real? Sure. Most definitely.
A creature like that does appear in the fossil record.
Right. But, you know, you get some of these guys that talk about, well, we don't find him because he disappears. He's got that power. Really, he's an alien.
Right, it crosses over there.
Yeah.
Do I think they see Bigfoot on every episode of Finding Bigfoot? No. Yeah. No, they pick a heat signature up, and it's a guy in the woods.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, there's a bigger issue because you got a dude like Bobo on the show.
Bobo.
I mean, now, come on, Bobo, dude, seriously, bro. You know,
and
I
they
mean,
use Bobo as a Bigfoot stand-in every week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, if they do happen to catch something on their thermal imager, how do we know it's not Bobo?
Because Bobo's hiding in the truck. He's scared. He ain't coming out there in the woods. Uh-uh. It's dark.
So, I have a question.
I believe...
No, Robin Marie, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you know that I believe in many, many things.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, I entertain a lot of impossibilities that are out there. I try to keep an open mind. I was just on Big Roadie, by the way, a couple of months back on Animal Planet.
Okay.
That's another show they have. And what I did solidly determine from that was that this is not my thing. I have a big problem with it.
Okay. With cryptozoology in general or just Bigfoot?
With the Bigfoot thing.
Okay.
The existence of it, yes. I mean, you're saying about fossils and all of that. Yes, of course. You know, there's a lot of things out there that, you know, is beyond the norm. But are they all out through the woods? No, it's not happening.
Now, hold on a second, Robin. Now, I want to ask you this because I know you do remote viewing, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know of anybody, and I would love to see this on these shows, them using a remote viewer to remote view where Bigfoot is. Do you know of anybody who's ever done that?
I pick up all sorts of things, and okay. There's never been a Bigfoot. The only big feet that I know are the people in my family. Okay, we're talking 14, 15 size shoe here, so that's pretty darn big.
Okay.
But, you know, I look into more the Native American beliefs and where there's shapeshifters and these skinwalkers and things that you're going to touch on later. That's more the direction that I'm going in. Can there be a missing link? Most definitely there can be something out there. But are they all throughout the woods and are they all just hiding from us and, you know, the incapability of us to find them? I don't believe this. I have a really big problem with it.
See, and I got to be with you on that, Robin. Yeah, I believe that there's a possibility of being such a creature, but, I mean, being so many of them, I don't think so.
Okay, I have a question about that specifically, and I'm really interested, JD, in finding out what you think about the Bigfoot, you know, myth or reality question. But Chad has a theory, one theory about why we don't find Bigfoot, or we don't find many Bigfoot, or come into encounter with them very often. Okay. And that is because it's possible that they're interdimensional beings.
Mm.
With that said...
See, I find them, too.
Okay.
I find aliens.
Okay.
Am I on the spot?
Yeah.
Yes.
Go for it.
Would you like some sound effects to go behind you, JD?
Yeah, go ahead. Give me that. Let me hear it. All right. This is the way I look at it. First of all, the show. I've seen it 1.5 times. Okay, I watched it the first time.
Okay.
I couldn't believe what I seen. I watched it a second time halfway through, realized that what I seen the first time was true, and have never watched it again. All right. As far as Bigfoot goes, do I believe Bigfoot exists? I believe there's a possibility that something is out there. The reason I believe that is not just because of shows like that and some of the things that we've had since the 50s, really, when it exploded, the belief in Bigfoot through the media and all this. But if you look at Native Americans and you understand some of their cultures and their beliefs and their practices, you realize they have two separate belief systems. One is a natural belief system, which is everything within, like we talked earlier about their worldview, their reality, their animals, the woods, the things around them, the things they can see, touch, feel, taste, whatever. And then they have a spiritual belief system, things that are of the spirit world. And they have always, throughout history, tended to keep those two separate and distinct from each other. There was never merging. That's what made their culture unique and makes it unique to this day. And what has intrigued me is that there have been rock paintings and totem carvings and stories passed down from mouth to mouth, from parent to child, generation after generation, about a Bigfoot. It exists to them. It's an animal, just like a deer, just like a bear, just like anything else. It's something they live with. It's interesting that the Pacific Northwest tribes, and this is, let me clarify this, if it exists anywhere, that's where it is, in the Pacific Northwest. You're not going to find it in Mississippi. You're not going to find it in Alabama or Florida or anywhere else. There's a lot of reasons for that. One is that those areas at the turn of the century were timbered to nothing. There were no forests.
Right.
The forests we have in this part of the country are new growth that was planted in the 30s because of Roosevelt's New Deal. By the CCC, the Civilian Conservation Corps. They established the forest. They replanted all the trees from the major timbering. The Pacific Northwest has never been timbered. It's huge, vast area.
Right.
Something could exist there. Does it? I don't know. But it seems strange that there's been all these reports, especially historical reports, before there was mass media, before there was multimedia, of a creature like that existing and being there. And the Native Americans actually believed it. In fact, they didn't look at it as an animal. They called them the Old Ones. They believed them to be a tribe of wild Indians, and that they would subexist beside them, and everything was fine. They hunted, they gathered, just like they did. But as far as interdimensional,
yeah,
I don't believe that.
Okay,
I can't buy into that. Mm-hmm. That interdimensional thing. We flip in, we flip out.
Right.
The Goblin universe.
That's yeah. I can't buy into that. No,
I don't agree with that either.
Yeah, but, I'm not down with that.
You know, primates are hard to see. We go in looking for them based on a perception. How do you know? How many times have you ever seen a Bigfoot show where they're looking for him? Have they ever scanned the trees and looked up? Have they ever looked up into the canopy to see if something's up there? I've never seen them do it.
Well, and that's the thing, too.
Yeah.
But, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
They made the assumption that because of the stature of the said creature that was viewed, that they couldn't climb.
Exactly.
But look at gorillas.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. You know, how do you know, I mean, they can be extremely elusive, even in the wild today. If you go to Africa and look for the mountain gorilla. I mean, look, that the mountain gorilla wasn't found until, what, the 1930s. Mm-hmm. There had been reports of it for years and years and years. Big animal. And nobody believed in it until someone stumbled across it. But will it happen? I don't know. Is it there? I don't know if it is or not. But I'll tell you this. I would love to go look for one. I'd love to go on a research, to go actually go.
Anytime, JD. Come on.
Look, that would be awesome to me. I mean,
Let's go.
I'm ready.
Get in the car. Go pick JD up. Come on out.
Let's go.
Just don't go with the BFRO. So,
Joe, why did you have to say that?
I'll hold the coats, okay?
The horrible thing about the BFRO now is that they're just like the Taps family. They're everywhere. BFRO is spread out all over the country and Canada now. Just like the Taps family.
What's funny about that is that, I think that there's a little bit more fear involved with going out in the forest and looking for something that could potentially eat you.
Oh, heck yeah. Right.
You know what I'm saying? Well, I mean, this is something that could bite your head off with one gulp. Whereas going looking for a ghost is like, I'm going to go to some graveyard and look for a couple of orbs floating around or whatever. You know, that's, I think that there's that vast difference there. What's that?
Paranormal investigating, I've been thrown across the room.
Oh.
But why, if it's out there, if Bigfoot is out there, if he's really there, why, with all the technology that's running around in these woods, why don't we have a photograph? Why don't we have a video that's not going back and forth, like the guy's running like this and he's shaking?
But
well, why?
You know what? How do you know we don't?
Take a picture?
There are some good ones out there. I mean, in my opinion, there have been a couple that I've seen that have made me go, okay. And, here I am. I'm coming off sounding like an advocate for Bigfoot, and I don't want to come off that way because I'm skeptical. But the thing is, it's like as long as we're skeptical, and a lot of people, a photo or, and unfortunately, I hate to say this, a photo or a video or something is never going to do.
Ever. Right, that's right.
It'll
unless
never do.
They're willing to send me the original, and I can deem that it is the actual original, and right. I can tear it apart.
Okay.
I don't believe it.
Right, right. And see, that's the thing. You could show anybody, a great photo or a great video or whatever, analyze it to death.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, we are, call us... what's a state? The show me state.
I want to see it. I want to see it with my own eyes.
Yeah.
I don't want you to tell me about it. I want to see it while I'm sitting.
I want to see it. And that's what people do. Don't show me a picture. There have been too many faked. And,
but this interdimensional thing, I can't. Nah, that's what I was getting at earlier. You know, that's why some people say that we've never seen it. We've never caught one, you know.
Right.
One hasn't been hit by a truck.
Right.
You know, things like
well,
that.
Well, no, I've actually heard stories of trucks hitting them.
Yeah, but usually they get up and run away.
I mean, Harry and the Hendersons, that was a documentary.
Really?
JD, we talked about the Patterson-Gimlin film once on another podcast or show.
Right.
Finding Bigfoot actually did have Bob Gimlin on the show. That was except for the recreation with Bobo doing the Patty. The show was pretty interesting to me just to see Bob Gimlin speak about it.
And what did he have to say?
Well, basically, he took them up to the site, which is, of course, totally different from 1967.
Mm-hmm.
Very little of it looks the same. And he still believes that they took a video of Bigfoot.
You know, I absolutely believe in that video. 110%. I think that is something. Yeah, I think that that is a real animal right
there. Dr. Jeff Meldrum, this is what got me, and I wrote this on the forum one time. He is a primatologist, anthropologist at the University of Iowa. He actually has and has a research project on what he calls the American ape. He's studying the footprints and things like that. You've probably seen him on a lot of shows. He's been on some actually good ones. They mm-hmm. did a frame-by-frame analysis of that. And what got me about that was in one of the frames, and a couple years ago when I posted this, I knew the number. I don't now. But you could actually see as it took a step in the thigh, it would have been the right thigh, a hernia bulge above the knee,
mm-hmm.
which is common in a big primate or even humans. It had a hernia, and every time it took a step, it bulged out. Now, if somebody was faking that video, and that was a person in a suit, that was a hell of an accomplishment.
I mean, that
was incredible, and
you can see the muscles moving underneath the hair.
Yeah, you can.
You could see it.
You can. You can see the ripple. You can see the banding, and you can see the hernia bulge when it takes a step. And I'm thinking, damn.
The thing is, you know, they just had their town meeting, Finding Bigfoot, the show. They just had their town meeting out here in Arizona.
Okay.
And the frenzy that it caused.
Crazy.
It was unbelievable. It was mass chaos. Did I go? Heck no. No.
Good for you.
I'm not interested in that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or that kind of situation. That kind of thing. Sure, I'm interested in it, but that kind of setup, no. I'm not interested in that kind of stuff. The friendships that were lost over it,
mm-hmm.
just the backstabbing. Mm-hmm. Between people, between researchers and teams and organizations, and that's mine. No, that's mine. You took it. I'm getting it back from you. You know, you didn't do that. I did this. All that stuff.
Well,
it's craziness, and I really think that it's because the paranormal field is starting to fade out a little bit, mm-hmm. so they need something else to grab the public.
Exactly.
Now
it's that's right. So true.
Now we're going into cryptids.
Yeah, I think so.
These town hall meetings, the stories get bigger and bigger every time somebody tells one. Well, I saw one that was 9 feet tall. Well, mine was at least 12.
Well, and I have to say, and I don't have this firsthand knowledge, but I've heard, I know a lot of people who went to that town hall meeting, and the misleading stories that came out of the production staff to get mm-hmm. people up there was downright reprehensible.
See, I mean, and now
bald
and
face
that's,
lying to the people. We'll pay your expenses. We'll do this. We'll do that. Just come on up. And then
right
as they get up there and they walk in the door, well, you know what? We really don't want to use you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they didn't screen the stories either.
Yeah, I've
heard that, and I don't like mentioning names, and I'm not going to, but the person that organizes these things has a history of that. And
I heard the same thing. There's
a big history of it, and that should speak volumes about the show and all that. But to me, it does. So,
yes.
Well, that's what's ruining the paranormal field as a whole, well, producers, you know.
Right. Right.
Makes the rest of us real researchers and real investigators look like a bunch of chuckleheads.
That's because they don't care about the field. That is not their concern. Yeah. Their concern is to make money. Yep. You know,
what sells, what's marketable.
Right. And I guarantee you, the minute people lost interest in it, boom, be gone. They drop it like a hot potato and move on to something else. Mm-hmm.
So. That's right. That's like, Rick, you know, with me, I don't watch any of the paranormal shows. None. Mm-hmm. Zero. They're banned in my house. I don't watch any of the Bigfoot shows. I don't watch any of the UFO shows. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't watch any of it because, for me, I live this stuff.
Yeah, well, same here, Jeff. I mean, I think we all do here.
Yeah, so, right. I mean, I don't, it really upsets me when I see this stuff because it's not the reality. Right. It's not.
Jeff, right. You and me both. I and don't watch them anymore, and I'm on some of them.
No, I hear you. Yeah.
You know, take.
I'm done with that.
I've passed up watching paranormal shows, and now I just sit on Z-Talk and listen to the internet radio all the time.
Well, you know, you got shows like Ghost Adventures, and I mean, okay, how is it that every other spirit they encounter is a demonic entity? Now, I've been actively investigating.
Is there anybody here that wants to talk to us right now?
Yeah, I mean, I've been actively investigating.
Your uncle's coming through, Jeff.
Really? Is he over in that corner? I feel him in that corner.
And you know what? He's old, Jeff.
Rick, go in there by yourself.
No, what I was just going to say is like, I've been actively investigating for 21 years now, and I think I've come across two that I can honestly say were not human entities. How is it that these three guys come across like a demon or an inhuman or an elemental whatever every other show?
Okay, well, I have something to say about that, and I'm not at all legitimizing what's on that show, but but I want to say that it is possible, I believe, for certain people to attract spirit activity or spirits or what have you.
But every other show?
Well, I'm just saying that I know some people who are friends of mine or family members who do just that, and more things happen around them. Right, yes, more things happen around them than others. So that's a possibility.
With Ghost Adventures, when they come to town, when they came to the Vulture Mine, they were right in front of us before we went out there and investigated. No, I'm sorry, we were before them. That's right. When I was the operations director for WC Gabs, they walk up to the owners or the proprietors of that establishment. They hear the stories. If you notice, everything that they find is the stories that they're told at the beginning.
Oh, yeah, and you're right.
Everything is what's described to them. They experience all the time. And yes, we only see what makes the show. You know, people will say that they'll do 20, 30 locations and only keep two. That's very true. Because as we know, as investigators, all of us here know that maybe, what, 0.5%, if that, you're going to get some sort of quote-unquote activity.
Sure.
You know, it doesn't happen very often at all. Mm-hmm. You're very lucky if you get anything. Yeah. Maybe a Class G EVP, you know? So, yes, that's what makes it to the shows. But it seems so not even coincidence, kind of a coinkydink there, that everything that they're described from the tour, if you will, is what they experience.
Exactly.
And it's just about, when they came out to the Vulture Mine here in Wickenburg, which is northwest of Phoenix, an 1800s old patented gold mine that's now since abandoned, it was literally word for word. Word for word. And we went out, I was there before them and right after them, and we got nothing. I got one strange FLIR anomaly. It was 112 outside, and I got a 26-degree reading on the ceiling, on a metal ceiling.
Wow.
That was it. That was the only thing that we got, period. Out of about 42 cameras and all that stuff we set up, nothing.
But if people understood that that is what we really experience, I don't know how many times I've sat in a room for 3 hours just waiting for something to like touch my arm. It's like,
yeah,
right. It's not going to happen all the time.
Well, you need it to be bloodletting.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna start bringing straight razors on.
You gotta bleed for the craft, Rick. You gotta bleed for the craft.
Have you ever experienced this where you're sitting in a room and you've been sitting there for so long, it is so quiet and so dark that all of a sudden you start hearing like ringing in your ears? You're like, yep. Wah, 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 wah. It's like, oh no.
Well, okay, I want to, before we move on, because I want to talk about skinwalkers next. Is there a paranormal show that's ever been on in the past, right now, that you all think has done it right or close to right?
Sightings.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, I agree.
That was good.
It was good. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
JD,
I loved it.
Even like My Ghost Story or something like that, where it's reenactments of actual events.
Yeah, that's more story. I like that. I've seen it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
and those are real accounts, you know, people that have experienced it. I'll be on My Ghost Story, actually, in the next couple of months.
Oh, fun.
Nice. Today, I would say Fact or Fake. I kind of like to watch that show. I really do, I got to admit. But they do a good job. Mm-hmm. There's not like a lot of oversensitization, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I have noticed, I laugh, that it seems like they try to push their stories onto the location that they want to go to. Like some exotic location. It's like, yeah, we're all on board for that. Can't blame them. But, you know, they do a really, they do a good job debunking or disproving,
oh,
but they've
God,
never
no,
said
God, don't debunk, don't use that word, gear back. Well,
you did it,
so out of context these days.
But they do it, you know, and it's like they don't, and one thing that I liked about it was if they can't disprove it, then they don't say, yeah, that's exactly what it was. They sort of leave it open.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and that's cool.
I enjoy that show too. I also like a new show that I think premiered last year. It was called Paranormal Witness. I really, really like shows like that that take both a mixture of interviewing the actual witnesses to an event, and that show really focused a lot on police officers, I noticed, being witnesses to events, which I thought was interesting.
Then
they would go ahead and show you, you know, creatively what happened. But they, I just found that show kind of cool. But yeah, Sightings was really one of my favorites. So I don't know how right they got it.
But I would say it has given the most to the paranormal community as a whole and done the best for it. I would have to say hands down is Ghost Hunters.
As far as bringing it into the Oh, are you being facetious there, Jeff?
I was waiting for Rick on that one.
Oh well, I actually give them credit because
I was like, what? No,
you have to give them some credit, Rick.
An organization originally is a great organization, but again, Jason and Grant got producers. Now, here's the thing. I actually have both of their books, and I enjoyed them very much. Now, originally, Taps, they did use psychic mediums. Jason himself says that he is a psychic medium, but producers got a hold of it again. So,
And that's what's going to happen when you have a TV show.
Look at all the shows. Look at Ghost Adventures. Look at Zach and his crew. Go back and look at that original documentary they did in Virginia City, Nevada. Mm-hmm. Go back
great.
And look at that, and look at it now. It is 360-degree opposite.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They get tainted by these producers, by these TV shows.
Right.
When they start out, that's why I've always said, Rick, and you can back me up on this, I will never, ever go on a show. Never.
Oh.
Never. I don't care. I don't. That's not something that I want.
You know what? I'm just saying, if I do ever, which I highly effing doubt it, but even if I did, I would make sure that this comes across correctly. as you know, as a member, I recently became a member of the Society for Psychical Research. I think they're great. I have always loved that organization, and I've always patterned what I do on what is done with that organization. I would make sure that I, you know, at least brought across not ghost hunting, but rather psychical research on one of these television shows.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And this is why I work with shows.
Rick, you want it to be?
Uh-huh. What's that, Teresa?
You would have to produce it you would have to produce it yourself if you wanted it to come across like you wanted it to come across.
I guess so, yeah.
That's exactly right. Yes.
Well, I mean, Robin, you've done a whole lot of television shows. How do you get good producers?
Right, and I try to bring the truth and the reality to it.
But what is your production standard? I mean, how much control do they have over what you do?
Oh, they fully have control. It's who pays the bills.
That's right.
That's the final say.
But I think you're going to see a big shift, too, in the way that the shows are done, because people now, they're tired of the way that shows are being done. They want to see that actual.
Yeah, and they're so boring.
I noticed a trend on Ghost Hunters over the years here where initially, and Cheryl, Chad, everybody would remember this because we weren't even Paranormal Underground then, and we did this. Ghost Hunters came out, and people would go to sci-fi to the forums and debunk a lot of the stuff that, and I said it again, I'm sorry. But
it's all right.
We would just raise hell with a lot of the things they did. Yeah, Teresa, you too. Remember that? We would go and do that. And then they changed their format.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't see so many things anymore, but everybody started having personal, and I'm making quotation mark, experiences, but you never seen anything. And then it got to the very, you know, rare picture, and they would plug a lot of EVPs that were even questionable, that type of thing. And now it's got down to, listen, did you hear that? Did you see that?
What the hell was that?
Yeah. How long do you think that's going to last? I mean, what's serious,
dude.
That's why they're turning towards Bigfoot and all of that. They have to change it up.
Yes,
exactly.
They can't fool you anymore.
See, and that's one of the reasons why. And Rick was kind of really stumped that I did this. Everybody can go to the TGAF TV YouTube channel and watch footage from investigations where we were at. And right now, what's up there? There's I think 144. Files up there, 1 hour each. You can watch an hour at a time, and it's right now it's the Bisbee Inn down in Bisbee, Arizona, a 1900s hotel.
I just want to ask you, because I was actually going to ask you this off the air, but that video that I watched, would you say that there was something there?
You know,
because I mean, it looks like this blue light, and then a shadow goes rushing across in front of the camera.
I haven't really, without looking at it in detail yet, just from glancing at it when you told me about it, yes, there's something there.
Yeah.
There's definitely something there. What it is, I have no clue.
Okay.
No clue. But yes, it's just raw footage of DVR cameras. At the Bisbee Inn, we set up 4 of them, and it's all weekend. It ran all weekend.
Okay.
You know, you can become an armchair investigator really easy.
Yeah.
We're going to put up the Jerome Grand, the Vendome in Prescott, the Nasker Inn in Globe, Arizona. That's an old 1900 school that's turned into a bed and breakfast. The Globe Jail, all this stuff. I've got about 2,000 hours to put up.
Wow, that's a lot of hard work.
I'd like to see some of these.
YouTube.com/TGAPHTV. TGAF TV.
Awesome.
Very cool.
So Chad he's in the chat room right now, but he said one of his favorites that he think was well done was called American Paranormal. I don't think they're on anymore, are they?
American Paranormal.
Was that what it's called?
Yeah. American Paranormal.
Yeah. Because there were a bunch of parapsychologists. Nobody wants to watch that.
Oh.
I do, but nobody else.
Oh, he said something about it haunted prison, American Paranormal. I don't know. Maybe it was a one-time thing, but he said that was a good one. But
I think that the shows that show the reenactment of the actual person, you know, giving their testimony, if you will, of what they experienced and reenacting it. I like that kind of a show.
Yeah, that's a good
honestly,
show.
The one that's got the celebrities in it, the celebrity ghost, what the heck they call it? That
celebrity
one.
Ghost stories.
That, oh, yeah. Ghost stories.
Yeah, that one's got some funny ones in it. You see some of the celebrities.
Marilyn Manson's was... Marilyn Manson was awesome.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, who wants to talk about the Skinwalker? Well, not a cryptid per se. Skinwalker. It's kind of related. Robin
Reed. I actually
read
up on Skinwalkers
today. I'm scared.
Today.
It's dark over here now.
Now, I had one in my movie, Ghosts of Fire.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Tell us about it.
That's the real thing.
What are they?
Can somebody tell me exactly... What is the difference between a skinwalker and, like, Bigfoot, Sasquatch, that kind of thing?
A skinwalker...
Sorcerer.
Under Native American belief, a skinwalker can take on the persona of an animal, any shape, form it wants to, and move among us. And it's a sorcerer. They believed it to be a sorcerer. But also, earlier when I was saying, and I don't mean the... Robin, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Earlier, when I was talking about Native American beliefs and how they kept their spiritual and their natural world separate, there was a distinct line between the two. The skinwalker was always in the supernatural. It was in the supernatural belief. It was never part of that. They believed in it. They believed just like, you know, we think of ghosts and things, because they believed in ghosts also. And that was ghosts. Were also a part of their supernatural beliefs, but it wasn't the natural. It wasn't didn't fall in the natural belief. Now, but they believed that they that was their belief, you know, system.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, Robin,
because we're having
you...
that meetup group a week from this Saturday. It's Saturday and Sunday out here in the Valley of the Sun, Phoenix, Arizona. We've got. I forget what the name of their group is. It's Apache, or not Apache. Jeez, she's going to kill me. Navajo Indians from the Four Corners. Mm-hmm. And they're coming out. There's a whole group of them that this is what they do. This is their calling, if you will, is the Bigfoot and skinwalkers and all that. And they're coming out and they're going to open up. They're bringing out a bunch of castings and video and things like that.
That would be too cool. I'd love to see that. That would be really awesome.
Well, that's great. They're a great bunch of people.
Mm-hmm.
They really are. And really friendly. And it was like, oh, I can't believe you're giving me the opportunity to get up there and talk about it. I'm like, wow, are you kidding me?
Jeez. You know, but from what I understand about the skinwalker, too, is that a lot of police officers and not just tribal police have seen these things, correct?
Yes.
Many sightings.
In fact, they just did a thing on the news here on ABC of a Native American police force that's down closer to Mexico, I believe. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong on that. I think now that I think about it, I think it was maybe to the east of Phoenix, somewhere between here and New Mexico and Mexico, the reservation, the police force is actually taking reports on paranormal activity and skinwalker reports.
Wow.
They're formally taking reports now and investigating this stuff.
Wow.
Okay, so how do you coven stuff a ghost then?
Ghostbusters? I don't know.
Yeah. It's
aren't skinwalkers mainly considered negative entities, or am I misunderstanding?
Good question.
JD?
I wouldn't say negative like we think, but they weren't helpful.
Okay.
Usually they had a motive. The sorcerer was out to get somebody or revenge or, you know, extract a debt, something like that. They were feared. Okay. Yeah. But the Native American, you know, you see the old 1950s westerns where, you know, John Wayne's telling everybody to put up a watch that night because the Apaches were going to come and kill them in their sleep. Well, that would have never happened because when it got dark, the Native Americans would not go out. They were terrified.
Right, right.
Spirits haunted the night. Yeah, and you did not go out in the night. The night was a bad place, you know? So that was it. They were afraid of it. I don't know if you would associate it negative. When I think of negative, I think of demon, that type of thing. It wasn't on
No, but even, you know, in dealing with paranormal, you know, this crossed over with what I was doing in my movie, Ghosts of Fire. And, of course, that was based on paranormal activity out in Centralia, Pennsylvania. And now, in Centralia, I personally happened to encounter one of these shapeshifters, or skinwalkers, as you'll have it. And the difference being is that there is a negative tone, a very, well, as we would say, possibly demonic, that comes across through this. Now, the reason being, in the movie that I encountered it, and this is reality, you know, film that's happening that I put into, you know, my documentary. This was actual in real time as it was happening. We were doing things that were offensive to the Native American culture and the spirits. We were on Native American burial ground, and we didn't know that. We had no knowledge of it. I also had some paranormal investigators that brought in a Ouija board, and a group of teens that were using it out in the street and said, "Hey, you want to be in a movie? Come on with us." So they brought everything up there, and they're sitting on this sacred ground. And, you know, everybody's under us. And, of course, they put a Catholic church on top of it just to boot, to make it even better. So, you know, everything was very offensive to their culture. And so this creature came over the wall at me. And as when I first saw it, it was at nighttime in the dark. And I saw basically the outline of it. And it looked very much like a wolf or like a black dog. And as it put its feet down onto the ground and stood up, it took on the mannerisms of a human being. It looked like a man. And it began to morph as it ran after me.
Now, do you have any of this on film, Robin? I've never seen Ghost of Fire, so...
We have it just... Well, people didn't have the camera right on me as it happened. But we went back there. All the investigation and everything went into that. And I've talked to Willie Windwalker, if you're familiar with him, and he's talked to me extensively about what happened. We return back a year later, and we do a whole ritual in the movie to appease them, because it was a negative entity that came out. And so, this is like a skinwalker.
Was this?
It was for their protection.
So this is something you actually saw visually. It wasn't psychically
seen. Oh my gosh, yes. And you know what? People that know me, I am such a skeptic on these things. I just, I don't delve into anything like this. I need to see scientific proof of things.
Wow, that's
this, you know, or at least solid spiritual proof. I need to have something solid.
Right.
And I just, I couldn't figure this out for the life of me. And so I turned to the Native cultures, you know, and spoke to people like, who do I want to say, Jody Cook, and people that are into cryptozoology and all of that, and that crosses into it. Yeah, he's wonderful. And people like Willie that told me of the existence of them. You know, and there is solid documentation. Like you're saying, the police are starting to write reports on them, and there's a lot of them that have been seen with that black dog's head in Pennsylvania.
It's an interesting concept because there's similar beliefs in other cultures also, like the German
Michigan
culture.
Michigan Dogman.
You have the doppelganger.
Michigan Dogman, yes.
Yeah.
Being
spiritual, I would say, you know, is it a doppelganger or something like that? I think along those lines. But we were on Native American ground.
Right.
So here we go back to, do our beliefs or thoughts shape what is around us, being in different areas, different regions, you know, they take the shape of what the collective thinking might be, possibly.
I think that the thoughts that we have in our head running around up there while we're doing all this stuff dictate what we experience. 100% without question. If you're not open to this stuff, if you're not open to the possibility that this is going to happen, that this is possibly true and out there and running around and paranormal stuff happening and, you know, Bigfoot and, you know, if you want to call it psychic abilities or mediumship or, you know, intuition, that kind of thing, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
Negative breeds negative. Positive breeds positive. That's just a fact
and
of life.
That's
correct.
Exactly. As these negative things were occurring during our investigation, that's when a creature like this came out.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Wow.
Every action starts with a single thought.
That's right. And that's the main thing that these people out there listening right now need to understand. If you're going to get into this kind of stuff, research it. Learn it.
That's right.
Don't go running off to Walmart and don't go running off to Radio Shack and buying you a digital voice recorder and then going to Toys R Us.
I could have called up a network and said, hey, I have this great story, you know, how I was attacked by this thing that jumped over the wall. But my first call was to Willie Windwalker to say, what's going on here? I wanted to define it, and I wanted to be very exact in how I portrayed it in the film. When I brought the documentary together, I wanted to give you facts
and as best as we could. Integrity. You know? There you get right back to the simple integrity.
Yeah. Well, that's why I'm not so popular. So,
hey, you're popular here.
To you guys. Yeah. To real people, I am.
Yeah.
I've heard of you, Robin, so you're
there. Yes. You're there.
Yeah. Well, we're running up on our time, but I want to try and fit in one more question before we go. And this is a question or a topic from Rick, and it involves an article he read about on a website recently about Daniel Douglas Home, who's a Scottish-American who lived from 1833 to 1886. And I'll let Rick kind of phrase what this was about, and then we can discuss it.
Yeah. Basically, the article was questioning, how is it that a guy like Daniel Douglas Hume, he exhibited such amazing psychic ability? And when he was doing this, he was being investigated quite a bit by Sir William Crookes, who was like the eminent scientist of the time. And he said that this guy was completely legit. He did stuff in full view of people. There was never any darkened rooms when he made forms appear. Basically, the idea was, why is it nowadays people don't exhibit this kind of talent? And I have two theories concerning it, and I think it has to do with because there is so much clogging the air right now that maybe people who do have these abilities, they can't exhibit them fully. And I think another one too is television. People are afraid to come out of the woodwork and like, yeah, I'm able to do these things because, you know, television shows are just gonna, well, you know, debunk them. But what do you guys think about that?
Well,
I hated saying it.
I'm gonna go first on this one because I got some pretty strong opinions on this one. So I'm gonna fire everybody up on this one. I think the reason that you're not seeing this today is because, like you say, people don't understand that they can do these kind of levels of things. They don't know how to do it. Mm-hmm. There's people out there that have these capabilities. I firmly believe that. Mm-hmm. But Robin, this is more directed towards you. Please correct me if I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. It's because they don't understand it. It's right there in front of them. And it kind of scares the hell out of them. What's going on here? So they kind of, push it back, keep it back, pull it back, pull it back. And also, they're kind of worried of the ridicule. You know, it's a popular subject matter right now, but popularity in a TV show and living next door to a full-blown, Daniel Hume of the current day and age, that's another story. I don't know if I want to live next door to somebody like that.
I would want to be his best friend.
I'm just saying this is something that maybe the person is experiencing in the real world, because there's still a lot of ridicule. I'll wear my old WC Gap shirt into the 7-Eleven down here sometime, and there'll be somebody in there. Oh, you a ghost hunter? Is that stuff real? I don't believe in that crap. You must be nuts. Every time.
I think, you know, it gets to a point, if you truly believe and have conviction in who you are and what your belief is, I can't let people do that to me anymore. I can't walk in fear. I can't cover up. I can't worry about, you know, I just can't anymore.
Oh, I definitely don't. No.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
And it's there. Believe me, I was told I was going to be stifled as I went to Ohio in certain areas. And I said, no, I'm going to change the way Ohio thinks.
Well,
okay?
Well, I was told when I...
Good luck with that.
Well, are you saying that, that us here in the Midwest are a bunch of hayseeds or something?
No.
Hey,
and
take
I never,
it back.
No, I'm talking about, you know, in tiny little towns. Heck, we have them here in Massachusetts, too. I'm dealing with a couple. But the thing is, we need to make change. And I stand behind who I am. Otherwise, it brings no value. What are we talking about if we break down?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we change ourselves because somebody else isn't ready to receive it. All I can be is respectful of their opinion, and I tell them that.
Yes.
You know, and hopefully time they'll come around, you know, and see things as we do and keep an open mind.
I respond to people when they do that, just, you know, I've experienced it. Come on with me.
Yeah,
come on an investigation. Here's my card. Give me a call when you want to see the truth.
Yeah.
You know, and I take them to the cemetery and let the tree come up and touch them.
Well, it's like the medium.
We've got a tree here in Tempe, Arizona, at the Tempe Butte Cemetery. The tree will literally reach out and touch you. I'm not kidding.
Oh, wow.
I would love to see that.
You're sitting there, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, there's a damn branch over your shoulder. How did that get there?
Wow.
You took it off.
Well, it was in the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
The tree from Poltergeist.
This is a tree they call the hanging tree. Back in the early 1800s, people were hung there.
Don't touch me.
Yeah.
Well.
And no wonder it's touching people.
I think I want to give everybody a chance to run through their favorite paranormal website. Tell us why.
ParanormalUnderground.com.
Yeah. .net.
If you go to ParanormalUnderground.com, you're going to get a list of ads, paranormal ads. Go to .net.
Well, of course, I was just testing you.
We passed. We all passed.
Yay. Anybody else have a good site?
After all these years, we better get it right.
Yeah.
Paranormal.about.com. I love About. Mm-hmm. It's cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I like cryptomundo.com.
That's another good one.
Oh, yeah.
Lauren Coleman's crypto site is pretty decent.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Cool.
Well,
I've gotten into the Bigfoot stuff lately, actually, to the point where now if I go outside in the dark, I think he's behind me.
But, you know what, Teresa? He could be.
I freak myself out sometimes, but I hit Google and YouTube, and I don't really have a favorite. I just go and read
everywhere. Yeah,
that's it. That's how I feel. I can't single anything out. I do love Paranormal Underground, and I'm telling you the absolute truth. You know, I've latched on to you, so I came on as a guest, and now I have an addiction.
We are lucky that you did.
Paranormal AA, I have to go to. So.
Admitting it is the first step.
That's
it.
So, you know, guys, we're pretty much here at the time that we need to sign off and let somebody else do their thing. So,
hey, Rick, you said we missed it, but we didn't. We're going to Japan, everybody. Are you excited, Rick?
I love Asian culture, which is probably one of the reasons why I became a Buddhist was because Asian culture just is incredibly fascinating. Yeah, Pure Lands Buddhism, man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dude, I did not know that.
That's his thing.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yep. So, okay. So, all right, you guys got projects, websites, anything that you want to sell?
Got a couple of watches over here.
Huh?
Yeah.
I said I have a couple of watches.
I just upgraded my phone. Does anybody want an old cell phone?
I don't want my new one.
No, everybody can go to the YouTube channel, TGAPH-TV. Look at the videos. There's about 150 of them up there. It's just raw video from investigations. It's really good to learn review and to see what's real and what's not. Comment if you find anything. It's not a contest. It's not, you know, none of that stuff.
Oh, man, but I want to win that iPad 4.
I'm wide awake now, so I'm probably going to go to TGAF's YouTube site.
Oh, yeah. That's, I want to look at some of them.
I've got Bisbien up there right now. Like I said, there's going to be Jerome Grand, the Vendome from Prescott, all sorts of stuff. All historic, okay. Haunted places that TGAF TV was at for the past 2 years.
Cool. Robin? Projects.
I'll be on my ghost story. We're filming out in Los Angeles very soon, so the next couple of months that will be airing. I'm shooting a couple of movies. No One at the Bridge up in Erie, Pennsylvania, and Ghosts of Fire 2, which is my own production, and that will be taking place, probably releasing sometime in fall. Okay. And I have several books coming out.
Cool. Robin, if you ever need any production work, let me know. That's my company, is Blue Mountain Productions.
Thank you very much, Jeff. I do. Out your way.
Yes.
JD, fighting Nazis, looking for Holy Grails, anything of that nature?
Yeah, I'm currently conducting a pit project on doing labs on the artifacts we recovered on the dig that's named after Cheryl.
Yay!
that we did in October. We uncovered over 5,000 artifacts.
And that's amazing.
Right now we're processing the labs on it. And
you guys still there? Oh boy, did we lost connection? Oh darn! With the whole everybody, anybody there? Except for me. We're off the air. Well, no, everybody else says we're on, but are we still coming through? Chad, are we still coming through? Oh, Z Talk went down. Oh, no. I don't know. Oh, no. Oh, my God. This sucks. Damn it. Nope, it's gone. I hope everybody stays on the line. No, he doesn't have to go to, okay. Hey, is anybody there? All right, I'm calling the group back. We're not going to end the show that way. We're going to keep on going.
Stinking Skype.
Hey, you know what? Our internet tanked here at the very end, but we want to end it. So, JD, please. You were talking about your project, so please continue.
No, that was it. Okay. Just working on that book and your labs.
Okay.
So.
Nice.
Hey, JD, is there any place that we can keep up with the stuff that you're doing?
Absolutely.
I am very interested in what you're doing.
Absolutely. You can all go to Passport in Time. PassportinTime.com, and that will give you all of the pit projects across the United States.
Okay.
Are being conducted, and you can join one as a volunteer, and you come out and actually learn how to dig or do labs or whatever, and you look for the ones in Mississippi, because those will be mine, and you can get in there. As far as posting that type of stuff online and all that, no, we don't do that. We can't. It's federal law, and you can't disclose that type of information to public because there's a lot of looters out there. People go loot sites and do things like that, and our job's to protect.
Can you take me on a dig?
Yes, absolutely.
Really? Oh, yeah. Rick, let's
I like that.
You know what? I tell you what, if,
man.
If I win the lottery and have the money, I'll fly out anytime.
We're in Mississippi, JD. I know we're way over time. I'm sorry.
Rick, I'll pick you up on the way.
There we go.
Road trip.
I know my way around Mississippi.
Now, I'm taking... sorry.
That's what Passport and Time's for. So you can join, come out. You're going to be provided with... Absolutely. They'll provide you with a free campsite.
Rick,
you can camp either RV or tent camp, and you'll get to dig. Go every day and dig.
Fly out anytime.
Really? Well, Mississippi, JD. I know that's cool. Time. I'm sorry.
Rick, I'll pick you up on the way.
Oh, we're like replaying ourselves.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
That's not good.
Yeah.
Well, Teresa,
yes.
What are you doing coming up?
I'm taking a little road trip next month to the Mid-Ohio Paranormal Convention.
Cool.
Thanks to Scotty Rorick and free tickets.
Nice.
Yeah. So I'll bring pictures.
Awesome. Well, we'll want to hear from you about how that goes. So next week, I want to thank you guys for joining us and especially for hanging in through this technical difficulty.
Thank you so much for having us on.
Thank you.
Teresa?
Next week, we're going to have Eric Morgret. He is the festival director and head of programming for Crypticon Seattle Horror Convention. So I think we're going to go to our outro. Because this is really hurting my head right now. But anyway,
we
thanks.
Need a bloodletting.
Yeah. I think we really do.
Wait a minute.
Next week, I want to thank you guys for joining us. And
bye, everybody.
If you'd like to be a guest on Paranormal Underground Radio, email editor@paranormalunderground.net. Until next week, keep exploring the unexplained at www.paranormalunderground.net and join us again next week for Paranormal Underground Radio on the ZTalk Radio Network.